This is Bucky McCaw, introducing a very special episode from our correspondent in England, the original co-producer, engineer, and founder of the Backyard Chicken broadcast, Gwen Sancirico, interviewing Debbie in Shropshire about her backyard flock, which includes hens rescued from English factory farms, and turkeys.
I'm here talking to Debbie, who lives in Shropshire in middle England, very close to the Welsh border. Debbie, tell us about how you got involved with chickens.
Okay, Gwen. Well, I've lived in Shropshire for 7 years, and prior to living here, I lived on the outskirts of Wolverhampton and North Worcestershire and kept rare breed poultry. And I decided that when I came to live in Shropshire, because I've got a bit of land, to rescue battery hens. And in England, when a battery hen, these are hens that are kept in cages, I think there are 7 birds to, I think it's the size of an A4 piece of paper.
Which is a little bit bigger than 8.5, a letter size piece of paper.
It's a very tiny size, and there's been a campaign by the Battery Hen Welfare Trust and I4 and other organisations to remove battery hens from cages, and they've achieved that. So now there are 5 hens to the same size, which isn't, you know, very good, but it's better than they had before. And in 2013 in Europe, all battery hen cages will be illegal. So before they introduced this, at the end of a battery hen's cycle, which is 18 months of constantly laying eggs, they have a problem with what to do with the hens. And the Battery Hen Welfare Trust approached farmers that were producing these hens for eggs and said, could we possibly rescue your hens? We'll give you they go for 50p each or something. They go to make chicken paste or dog food. Could we actually take them and rehome them? Because they still lay eggs and they could make great pets. When a farmer has got to give up his birds for slaughter, the trust volunteers arrive with many, many cars and vans, and they take as many of the birds, up to something like, you know, 7,000 birds a night, could be in the middle of the night, which is really terrifying for the poor old birds. But once they've undergone, you know, the removal from the cages and they've relocated them and they've discovered who the strongest ones are, they then weed out the strongest ones, and in the middle of the night they ring you and say, we've got some birds, can you come tomorrow and take them? So it's all very exciting, and you say, put me down for 25 or put me down for 5. And people from all over the area who will be contacted, and they'll be told that, you know, come and get your hens. So I put my name down for 25, and it was the middle of February, and it was the coldest it got here that winter was minus 19 for 2 weeks.
Celsius.
It was really cold. Yeah, really, really cold. So off we went with our cages the next morning and got 25 semi-naked hens that could hardly walk, and put them in a shed with a heater and food. And it was just lovely because we watched them learn to walk. The birds have been used to constant water, constant feed and constant heat. And of course they keep the lights on 24/7 so that they are producing eggs all the time. So it was a bit of a rest for these birds. But we felt that they weren't warm enough. So my mum and I knitted little chicken jackets for them. And every one of the naked expats, they're called, the expat hens, that was the boldest, got a little knitted jacket and little knitted coat. And from that February to, I think it was about June, the feathers really started to come along. And it took a full year for them to get their full plumage back. One of the joys of keeping hens is rescuing a battery hen, because not only do they still lay beautiful eggs, but they actually like people, because in the intensive systems they see people all the time, and they're so used to being crowded that they're not frightened of contact. And there was one, she was called Grendel because she was so ugly. And Grendel lived to be a good 6 years old. She had 6 years after her 18 months in captivity. And anybody who can get hold of an ex-battery hen, they make wonderful pets because they follow you everywhere. And it's just so delightful to see them learning to walk and fly and, you know, wonderful.
Discover what it's like being free.
Yeah. The first time they see a worm, they make the most terribly excited squeal and scratch. And, you know, and the other one comes along and you think, these poor birds have only known processed grain, but they soon revert to their their natural instincts, and they see a bird in the sky and they look up and make, you know, excited noises that, oh, look, there's an insect or there's a bird flying. They're really engaging, yeah.
So you also have turkeys.
Yes.
Two turkeys. Yes. Tell us a turkey story.
I never intended to keep turkeys, but people used to say to me, wouldn't you like to rescue a turkey at Christmas time? I thought, well, you know, I might have said to a couple of my friends in the past, yes, I'd like to rescue a turkey. So one Christmas Eve, we were sat here and some friends from Kidderminster arrived and they said, we've got something for you, it's a turkey. And they said we were supposed to have this free-range bronze, Kelly bronze turkey for slaughter it and have it for our Christmas dinner, but we couldn't. So here he is. And that was the turkey that I've got now, who is, I think he's a Kelly bronze, which is a variety of meat turkey that they use in America and across Europe. And he is a poor specimen and he can hardly walk because he was so big and bred for the table that he's crippled, but he's had a life now for, I think it's his fifth year. So he's quite happy. And he's a big black bird. And the thing I don't know about turkeys is their language, because they've got far more squeaks and squawks than the hens have got. So if they don't like an aeroplane going over, they will just suddenly all look up and make this high pitch, woo, sort of noise, and they'll all copy each other. Whereas hens will listen and then squawk. Turkeys actually seem to reason and answer one another. If one will go, what's that? The others will all look and then they'll work it out and almost answer back. And then they'll say, it's okay. It's a very, I don't know if anybody's studied turkey communication, but they are very, very sensitive creatures, unlike hens, who are quite brutish and vicious. I find hens are lovely, but they're far tougher than turkeys. Turkeys are more sensitive and gentle and sweet, actually. You know, they love a dust bath as much as a chicken, but they will shake their feathers down after a good dust bath on a hot day, and go up to the other turkey and say, what do I look like? Do I look wonderful? And make turkey squawky noises, whereas chickens will just peck each other and say, you've missed a bit. Things. And I've got two that came from a shooting estate in mid Wales, a white turkey and a brown turkey girl called Thelma and Louise. And they're sisters, or they've been brought up as sisters, and they adore each other. And when one of them goes broody, the other one is bereft and walks around the garden crying, I've lost my friend. And once she's come off her egg, or, you know, once she's stopped being broody, they're happy again. And they do like these turkey twirls, turkey twists and tumbles. And it's a display of happiness. It's almost like doing a cartwheel, but on two legs. It's fascinating. And anybody who says that turkeys aren't fun has never had one.
So you're telling me how the tom colours on his head changes?
Yes. He will put his wattle down, and if he's flummoxed or a little bit irritated, he'll go red. If he's really angry, he'll go lavender and purple almost. And if he's very happy, he'll go white. But if he's, you know, ordinarily just, you know, hunting around for insects, because they're great pest controllers, turkeys, they'll eat any sort of bug in the garden, and a lot of organic, this is all organic here, there's no pesticides or anything, so if you don't want slugs or beetles, you know, lily beetles or something like that, anything that's bright and shiny, the turkey will eat it.
Even slugs,
yeah.
And to point out, the slugs in the UK are gigantic. I've never seen such huge slugs.
I think it must be the rain.
In the US.
Yeah. It must be the rain. Yes, they were. And if you've ever seen Tug of War with a slug and two turkeys, you know, if you haven't, you haven't lived.
I want to get turkeys now.
Thanks, Gwen and Debbie. I had a good time. I'm interested in turkeys now, too. Not sure they'll work in cities like New York, but they might be good for some of my Vermont or New Hampshire listeners. If you have questions or comments, or would like to be a correspondent like Gwen, contact me at bucky@buckybacaw.org. Or through the Bucky Bacaw Facebook page. Ciao.